Welcome to It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marie. Hopefully you guys had a great week. So this week I just kind of wanted to go back to just like a good old fashioned show review. Cause there's a third season of Signs of a Psychopath on Discovery Plus. So I wanted to start that. And I barely just started the show You, I guess, on Netflix. My friend Blake recommended it to me. And I just barely started it. And, like, I was listening to this show. And then, like, this dude talked. And I was like, oh, damn, that's kind of like that show. And it just, like, oh, wow. And so, that's why he got picked. And I honestly didn't know anything about this guy. And we've done, already did the guy who was killing at the same time he was in the same area he was. So, without further ado, I'm going to tell you guys about Sean Vincent Gilson. Yeah, he has a weird fucking name. He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he was killing and doing his thing at the exact same time as Derek Lee Todd. And we did him about 5 months ago-ish, give or take. It was a fan pick, so these two guys were in the same town, the same area, not the like same exact place, same area, same time. I don't believe they were friends. Okay, so he has a total of 8 victims, and his span goes from 94 to 2004. So he had a fairly long run. Jesus, I cannot speak tonight. It's Friday, which is my favorite day. And I'm literally just trying to make it through the rest of my workday so I can leave. So, I'm a little over it today. It's been one of those weeks. Anyway, so he was born in June 24th of 1962 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was raised by his mom and his grandparents because his father abandoned the family soon after. He had experiences with anger and rage. His neighbors, when he was younger, one of his neighbors said that she heard him outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, beating on the garbage cans, which at 3 o'clock in the morning, if the neighborhood boy is beating on garbage cans, I'm fucking hitting you. And then going about my day. Sorry about that pause there. Goodness, I had to move my car. They're redoing the painting in the parking lot of my work. Anywho, so during his first murder trial in 2004, not his first, during his trial, Jesus, his mom got on the stand and testified that he was a well-behaved, well-adjusted, good boy with good grades and that he was just oh so perfect. His mother also is quoted saying, quote, "I used to call him my blue-eyed angel. This is the person I love the most in the world." Oh, that's kind of cute, end quote. Kind of cute. Not kind of cute, because I'll tell you what he says about his mom, and it changes that whole thing. His rap sheet began in the 80s when he was 17 with minor infractions. He had a couple DUIs. He smoked the devil's lettuce. He had contempt of court. Believe me, if you watch this episode and hear him talk, you know why. He committed his first murder in 94. So when he was younger, why I say that he was not some sweet, innocent little baby boy, like his mom said, in the episode, they're like, oh, tell us about your childhood and your mom. This sick fuck is like, I used to bury my, like, motorboat his mom. He's like, I used to just bury my head in there and everybody would think I was like sweet and nice and everything else. And little did they know that I'm like getting my little chub off. So weird. And then she was like, the cop was like, so do you think it's normal to want to fuck your mom? Not such blunt words. And he's like, oh yeah. If any guy tells you they didn't want to fuck their mom, they're lying. And I was like, oh my God. reminded me of Norman Bates. Once again, that is the scariest show. You really believe he is going to fuck his mom for like the first 3-4 seasons, at least till she is dead. You believe they're going to have sexual relations. So anyway, he had a little Norman Bates moment. And he talked about, like, if he killed his mom or anything like that, that he would, like, not report it like Norman and use her as, like, a human Barbie doll, because he was into necrophilia and, like, all the dead stuff and playing with dead bodies and taking pictures and changing them and all that stuff. So he was just gross. So he says that he started killing because of quote unquote stress. His first victim was an 80-year-old woman. He tried to rape her and then he got scared when she screamed when he touched her, shockingly. And so to stop her from screaming, he slit her throat and stabbed her 50 times and left her body there at the residence in the old folks' home in which she resided in. Now, this is the one that made me think of that You show. In 1999, he stalked a woman after he saw her jogging. That's literally the interaction that they had. He saw her jogging and was just hooked and couldn't get off of, like, the thought of her. He spent 3 weeks stalking this chick. And on May 30th at 5:30 in the morning, he saw her. She was only 52 years old. She was jogging down the road. He hit her with his car and knocked her into the ditch. Her body was found 2 days later off the highway in St. James Parish. Like, oh God. When he hit her, he put a plastic bag over her head to, like, suffocate her. And then he put her in the car, drove her to an off road, like, I'm not exactly sure, like an off area road, where he raped her and then killed her and then put her nude corpse in the trunk of his car and left her there until he dumped her 2 days later. So she literally sat in the back of his car for 2 days. And then from that killing, he goes on to do 5 more. So, oh, hold on. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So the reason he got caught, because all his cases obviously went cold too, was they were paying a lot of attention to Derek Lee Todd. And there were victims that they couldn't get him for. And they were like, well, okay, well, who does she belong to then? And then they were like, there has to be a second person. Bam. Leads on to this. Which is just insane to think that at the same time, even though Derek Todd started his spree like 2 years before he did, still same time, same place, coincidence. His last victim was in February, and she was 43 years old. She was the 8th and final, and she was raped and strangled with a neon tie rope. God, I hate it. When she was deceased, he mutilated her body. He slashed her breast, cut off her left nipple, gouged out a tattoo on her right thigh, and severed her arm at the elbow. Good God. Her body was found at the end of February in a drainage canal south of the state university. So when he got caught and put into jail, the last victim's friend started communicating with him while he was in jail. And he never even was like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry about me murdering your friend. In one of the letters, he wrote, quote, she was so drunk, it only took about a minute and a half to succumb to unconsciousness and then death. Honestly, her last words were, quote, I can't breathe. I still I still puzzle over the postmortem dismemberment and cutting. There must be something deep inside my subconscious that really needs that kind of remarkable action. Her friend died in 05. And but my God, stutter much. But before she died, because she died of AIDS, she turned over all the letters that her and Gillis had been exchanging over their time. And after his arrest, which it was the tire prints on his car, because he had a very unique tire print, there were only 90 in 03, there was only 90 of those tires purchased in the area. And then they got a DNA swab, connect, and bam, 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 thank you, ma'am. And so he was matched that way through DNA and him just speaking. When they went to his house, they found 45 digital photos on his computer of his last victim. And it is him positioning her corpse. Like, he does a photo shoot with her corpse where he does, like, half of her legs are out of the trunk. And then the top half of her is out of the trunk. And then he takes her out of the trunk, puts her against something, and does some more. And then he thinks of, like, crime scene stuff he's seen and reenacts that. And so he puts her into different positions. And he said, while he was being interviewed, that you would be amazed at the movability of a dead woman compared to when she's alive. Like, you can make them do pretty much anything, and anything you think of, it can happen, which is just awful and disgusting. And then when he was also being interviewed, yep, that was me locking my doors, don't judge. It was so weird because the cop says, when we go to a crime scene, we're there, we try to determine the level of fantasy that took place in the crime. And he kind of like scoffs a little bit, like, huh. And then he says, where was I in between Hitchcock and Disney? Like, that's okay. You know, like, whatever, whatever. And so he had 45 pictures of her body. There were also other victims. And he had body parts in his home. And he said he kept the body parts and the photos because it was like going back and reliving the whole entire thing. And so he was arrested on April 29th in 2004. And he confessed to the murders. Ugh. And he went to trial on July 21st of 08. He was found guilty, sentenced to life. And the jury was deadlocked when it came to the penalty phase, which is shocking because this guy is a fucking monster. And the previous year, he pled guilty to second degree murder and was convicted of another killing. And then he's incarcerated in the Louisiana State Penitentiary. So his victims are Anne, who was 81 years old. She was murdered on March 21st, 1994. Kathleen, who was 29, January 4th, 1999. Hardy, who was 52, May 30th, 1999. Joyce, 36, November 12th, 1999. Lillian, 52, January of 2000. Marilyn, who was 38 in October of 2000. Johnny, she was 45 and she was murdered in October of 2003. And Donna, who was his last victim, and she was 43 years old and she was murdered, like I said, February 26th. Like, I don't, stalking is so weird. Like, if you've never stalked anyone, it's weird. And I've never, like, professionally stalked anyone, like, for real, for real. But, like, I don't know. That just seems so creepy. And like I said, I just started the whole you. Like, I'm literally on episode 2, I think, of season 1. Barely just started it. Like, he just barely, if you don't, okay, if you don't know the show, sorry. He meets this bitch in a bookstore. And like, he goes and follows her home and like watches all these things. And like, just the shit he says in his head is so crazy to think that like people. There are people out there that come up with shit. Like, they have conversations, they have thoughts, and they're like, oh, this is how I perceive this interaction, or this is like, and that is just poof. To go spend your day following someone who doesn't even know you exist is mind-blowing to me. And maybe it's because if I like somebody, I like them to know I like them, you know? So I can get that, I don't know, that happy feeling knowing I get liked back. I could never be a professional stalker. I couldn't. Because I'd be like, hey, do you like me? You don't know me, but do you like me? Hi. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird. That was my thing for this week. I just got so shocked by it. I don't know. It was so weird. And then I sit here and I judge these people for stalking and all this crazy shit. And my favorite place to be is cemeteries. So I don't know. Is it weird? Yeah, it is to stalk people. It is. It is. Hanging out in cemeteries? No. Stalking? Yes. I don't know. Dude is so weird. And Gillis? Like, his name made me giggle. I know it's his last name. Like, still. I don't know. It made me laugh. I'm weird. Anywho, that was this week's episode. So, like I said, it's Friday. So, on Fridays, and believe me, you are not going to want to miss this episode of Jeff and Greg because it's my buddy Ebes, my best friend's cousin. And he is fucking hilarious. Not only is he an amazing rapper, MC, I don't know what they go by. But he's super, super, super funny. So you're definitely going to want to check out this episode that they release because it's going to be funny. Hands down. And if it's not, I don't know. Maybe they should quit because that'd be super weird if it's not. So it's Friday. Go watch the live from them. And oh my God, I was going to say something about them. Oh, yeah. So they don't like the fact that I talk about how old they are. But then again, they do things like eat antacids during a podcast after being over the age limit you should be to eat Taco Bell. I mean, not Taco Bell, Jack in the Box at a late hour. You can only eat Jack in the Box after 5 in your 20s. After that, everybody knows it's death, especially when you get tacos from Jack in the Box. What the fuck are you getting a taco from Jack in the Box for? You get a burger. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know these men's lives. Anyway. So, yeah, go check out their live video. It's super funny. It's what I look forward to every Friday night. It's like about 10 minutes of my life. So, go check it out and then check out their new episode because I am literally waiting on pins and needles for it. I'm so excited. Ebes put it on Facebook just yesterday, and now I'm just tickled pink. I cannot wait. But other than that, there's a concert going to be on the 28th or 29th. It's May Day. I have newly found this, discovered this person in my ears, and I adore it, and I like him a lot. So me and my brother are going, and it's going to be a super fun time. So if you're going to go to that, say what up, because we'll be there. And that's about it, I think. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay safe. And yeah, I love every single one of you. And have a great week. Bye.